Thank you again in Jesus' name that we gather. Lord, thank you again. It's in that name that we rejoice. Oh, and what thanksgiving and what praise and what honor, what glory. God, thank you that we glory in nothing but the work of the cross. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful blood that was shed. Thank you for that all-powerful blood. Thank you for the favor, the unmerited favor. Oh, the highly favored. Praise God for them that are born again. We're born of you, Lord. Hallelujah, children of the King. And God, you've brought us here again today to magnify your Son, to rejoice in the beauty of the Lord, and Lord, to grow up just a little bit more in that truth and love. Thank you, Jesus, for every life that's here today. God, just touch us with more of your love. Open our hearts. We know you've got to do it, but thanks be to God, there's nothing more you want to do. Help us, Lord. Get a hold of us. Captivate our attention this morning. Let the mind of Christ reign. Let us rejoice in the word of the Lord, for it's the sword, the all-powerful and mighty sword that goes before us. We thank you that you're for us, dear God. We thank you for your Son, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, this morning. We're going to the 13th chapter of Acts, and thank the Lord for this precious passage. In the 13th chapter of Acts, what's happened here is Paul is into his first missionary journey, and he's given a sermon here in a synagogue. And the theme of this sermon is justification by faith, not by works, not by might, not by anything else, but by believing in Jesus Christ. And as he gets towards the end of wrapping up this sermon, I'd like us to just read a couple verses here, and then the Lord will settle us in on this thought that he's been continuing us in from last week. But if you look at verse 38 of the 13th chapter of Acts, it's just so glorious. And Paul says to him, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," and what he's speaking of here is Jesus Christ, "through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." We know that's Christ our Lord. And listen to what he says right after that. "And by him all that believe are justified from" what? "All things." Isn't that wonderful? Not some things, not part of things, but all that believe in him are justified from all things. Now listen to this. "From which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." I don't know how much clearer he's got to be to get it through our, not just thick skulls, but through our dirty self-righteousness, that it's the blood of Jesus that has justified me from all things, settled, done, and finished. Now, let's go down to the 43rd verse, and this is where the Lord's going to have us settle in today. "Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." To continue in the grace of God. Now, the Lord is going to move us into more heights this morning. From last Sunday, we entered into that thought of continue. Last Sunday, we heard continue in my love. And today, it's going to be continue in the grace of God. And remember this, if you weren't here last week, if you've already forgotten from last week, this is why we need to be reminded again and again. That word continue is such an all-glorious word for our lives because it encourages us to who we are, what our purpose is, what we've been born into. That word continue means to remain as what you are. Remain in what you have been made. Remain in what has been born in you. Christ in you and what he has made you. And not to become another. Don't try to be something you're not. Don't try to add to something that's already perfect. Praise be to God, it's the life that lives in you. And today, brothers and sisters, we need to know this. And really, again, God, grow this in us. We are of grace. We are justified by grace. We are saved by grace. We are born of grace. The Bible tells us in Titus 2:11, it says, "The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men." Did you hear that? So I don't want to hear these stories about why somebody didn't hear the word of God or didn't know about Jesus just because they were born at a certain time in a certain place or whatever it is. In that, I wouldn't even say a puny mind, because it's not. It's just spiritual wickedness. Listen to this again. "The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men." All men, all men, have been given grace. The whole world, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, he gave the world grace. He gave the world his Son. He gave them his Son so freely. But the thing is not all men have taken grace. Not all men have received grace. Matter of fact, most men have not taken grace over the course of the history of man on this earth. See, if all men had taken grace, all men would be saved. Because the only way you can take grace is by taking the one who is grace, that's Jesus Christ. So as this grace has appeared to all men, all that had to be received in taking this grace was, "Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." How much simpler could it be? Ephesians 2:8 and 9 tells us so sweetly that only by grace are we saved through faith. Nothing else. We're not saved by doing something or trying to keep something or trying to join something. We are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. It's not of works. It says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is all grace. Praise God. Our lives, brothers and sisters, are nothing but and only, hallelujah, the grace of God. And I thank the Lord for that. See, it was designed by God that way. The reason that God designed that this whole thing would be grace was to do one thing and one thing only, and that was to magnify his Son. Praise God. He put everything in his Son, just like the young people just sang. It's in the name Jesus. All power's in that name. Everything's given to him. Everything. Everything. And every knee shall bow someday and every tongue confess that he is Lord. But, again, only the beginning. Not only are we born of grace. This is something that a lot of God's precious people really don't see and don't want to really grasp in the power and the love that's been given. But not only are we born of grace, brothers and sisters, but we live in grace. We do. Our realm that we live in is the grace of God. See, he promised us. He promised us in Romans 6:12, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." Did you hear that? Sin shall not have dominion over you. Praise God. That's the promise of the Lord. That's what he has given to his children. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for we are not under the law, but under grace. Under grace. I don't care what the lie that may be just looming over you this morning. And saying, "Oh no, I know that sin's got dominion over me right now." No, it doesn't. I don't care what you are caught up into this morning as a child of God. You have a promise from the Lord that sin shall not have dominion over you. That is not who you are in Christ. That is not the reality of who and what God has made you. And it's in that reality of believing the word of God that it breaks free. That the lie that's been there for I don't care how long, in a moment of believing, He'll take you to see truth as opposed to seeing the lie. Oh my goodness. Romans 3:20 tells us, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You want that lie to quit reigning upon your life? Quit trying to work out from it. Come on now, you know this. How many times in our lives have we tried to get through something? And we know that Jesus loves us. We know we're justified. We know that, again, He has forgiven us from all of our sin. But yet somehow we're going to let this sin just reign on us. Yep. And we'll work, and we'll try to cut deals, and we'll try to think with our head how we're going to work this out. And when that starts to happen, you'll step away from the truth. You will. You'll compromise the truth. Oh, yes, you will. You'll say, well, this is how we're going to get it done. And it's better to do it this way, because then the sin won't be reigning on us. Let me tell you something. The devil will try to attack you any and every way that he can. And a lot of times, let me tell you something, you have to have a thorn. And you have to have an infirmity hitting your life always, that you're surrendering to God to say, Lord, you have got to take this. And oftentimes, he'll just leave it there so that you leave your head right here on his chest and say, Lord, I'm not moving. I've got to stay right here. I'm not going to try to figure out another way. I know your grace is sufficient for me. Now, I thank God that in that sufficient grace, he has promised us again in 2 Corinthians 9:8 that he has made all grace to abound to you. Did you hear that? He's made it. He's created it this way. He's empowered it this way. That all grace abounds to you. It's all there. You talk about never leaving nor forsaking. That's it. It's because this grace is always there. It's not predicated upon what you did or what you didn't do or anything of that nature. That grace is so instant. It's so there all the time. And it's by faith. By faith. Lord, I want that grace. And it's there. And he says this again. He says, I've made all grace to abound toward you, that we, always having all sufficiency in all things. I love those alls. Did you hear that? He's got all grace for us, that we always, having all sufficiency in all things, with this grace, can superabound to and in every good work. Everything. That means everything we come up against in our lives, that grace is already there. It's already been prepared. It's been there since ages past for you in Christ. It's not like God's just doing it on the fly. It's there. It's always been there. He's seen this path of grace for you. Not works. Not your might. But again, once again, we are his workmanship. Praise God. So that's the confidence and the absolute assurance and dependence that we can have that God is for us. Going back, as we rejoice just starting off this morning, we're sons of God. We're his sons. And as much as we natural parents can love and be for our children and do everything and give everything, it could never compare to what the Father has already provided for us in Christ. In that grace, in ages past, laying out all of that for us, that plan, that purpose, that power, that provision, it's all there. Hallelujah. 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 So we are, brothers and sisters, in this realm of grace where we live, our environment. We may be walking through this very wicked place. I know it. You know it too. The prince and the power of this air is no other than Satan himself. The evilness of man is waxing worse and worse. We're nowhere approaching a time right now that the devil is going to be even let go full force like a roaring lion. Yes, but that's our God. He does it in a way that's so magnificent. It's so against every thought, every odds, every anything you want. He always does the impossible. He just does it that way. He's always going to fold it out that way. But that's his whole plan. You mean you took us, the most weak thing there's ever been, ever could be, man. We're just nuts. Think about how we are. Our thoughts are just vile. Look at the way we're running as people. Anything goes but believing in God. And that's the truth. But he put us in that place. He put us in these weak vessels. He put us in a place where the devil himself is the prince of this place. Yes, he is. But he has no power but what God gives him. And he did this to show how magnificent and mighty the life of his son, the grace of God, could be in the most weak creation he ever made, man. Amen. And how magnificent. And here, examples right here today of ones that, by God's grace, you love him, but are not just loving him, that are growing in a passionate love, that are allowing that love story to just work in your life, to be a son glory by the grace of God. Even in this life, there's this passion that just flows forth, that's bursting in this ever dark world. Let me tell you something, lights only are more magnified as darkness increases. You know it. You want to see stars? You got to get out where it's real dark, don't you? What do you think he's doing, huh? What's he doing today? It's a dark time, honeys, but there's ones that are shining. There's ones that are saying, oh no, this is Paul's gospel time for me. This is the time of the coming of the Lord. This is the time that he's going to have his wife. And praise God, he has given that to my life. So, not only again are we born of grace, saved by grace, not only do we live in grace, not only does he assure us that we have grace all the time, he meets us every moment with his throne of grace. Isn't that amazing? And what does he tell you about the throne of grace? He says, come boldly. Come boldly again. See, he's already given you the grace. The Word of God talks about grace for grace. He's already graced your heart to know that you just come boldly to the throne of grace. It's so unmerited. It's so unearned. That's what really grace is. It's just the all-powerful love of God gripping your life to truly, you get it. You just love me. And not only do you love me, you're just delirious for me. You love me so much that it really doesn't matter. You just want me to come all the time. And he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Yes. To obtain mercy. And to find grace. Amen. In our time of need. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. See how he's even designed you? What do you need? You need grace. He didn't send you away to say, okay, you need to go work and that'll going to satisfy you. Work will never satisfy you. Never does it? People in this place from all religions that could ever be. And thanks be to God, it never satisfied you. Thanks be to God, it never satisfied you. He knew that he'd given you a heart to hear the truth. And you came and you heard the truth. And it gripped you and it became alive in your life. And you said, oh Lord, I know that that is Jesus. I know that that's God. I know that if there is a God, that's God. That's the God that has done it all. That's the God and that's the Savior who was sacrificed that did everything. Yes, that's it. So, continue in the grace of God. Huh? Don't try to become another. The Galatians, they were a people that Paul went and preached to. And they laid hold of this. They delighted in it. They were encouraged in it. They rejoiced. They were thankful that that great, wonderful truth had touched their lives. But the Galatians, they tried to become another. And it was very soon. Paul comes back and says to him, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. He marveled. He was so sad. He said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to try to get yourself perfect or grow up by the works of the flesh? So many people go that way. So many people, when you turn from the truth, The thing that you think that's going to satisfy you is something that you can do, something that you can feel, something that you think that you're going to obtain in some effort of you. And the Lord says, oh no, your glory is saved only in the cross. Oh, I've been praying so much. Lord Jesus, quicken our hearts even the more. I know we love the grace of God in this place. But I don't even think we've gone anywhere yet. I'm not kidding. Every week we come in here, there's just more because it's Him. Every year there's more. There's more. There's more grace. There's more grace because He did. He said, it's always there. It's always sufficient. It's always abounding. How much is there? Well, you know what? In the ages to come, it's the exceeding riches of His grace. I mean, this stuff just keeps pouring forth. And I don't want to miss any right now because I want to have that full, hallelujah, vessel to receive it all. But see, Jesus, I've been praying. I said, Lord, let us only abide and rejoice in Your unmerited favor. I was rejoicing today as the Word of God tells us how the angel came to Mary and said, oh, you're highly favored. Well, if you really think about it, why was she really going to be highly favored? Because Christ was going to be birthed in her life. Did you hear that? That's what He was ministering to me this morning. Because Christ, you're born again. He was birthed in you. Man tries to make so many things out of all these things, but yet the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. You're highly favored because you're born again, honey. That's it. You're a son. You're a son. I look at some parents out here, and I know you have the love of God in you. And thanks be to God, but I'm telling you, you love those children. They're of you. They're of you. We're of Him. You're not of this world. You're not. You're not from here. You're just passing through. Young people, really hear this. You are just passing through. You're aliens to this land, the Word of God tells you. You've died with Him. You've been raised with Him. And you're seated together with Him right now. Well, so any time you know that we push away grace from our life, there's not going to be any power there. Do you know that? There might be feeling, but then what's going to happen is that feeling's going to become so empty. And then that empty feeling, if it doesn't see and lay hold of the grace of God, it manifests itself in a lot of ugly ways. Because when you go by feeling, that's all that's going to happen is it's going to become vile. It's going to become judgmental. It's going to become condemning. It's going to come, whether it's condemning someone else or even yourself. It becomes very destructive, brothers and sisters. You see, the beautiful thing about grace is the end of you. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't that just so precious? Grace is the end of you. And grace, when you step into that, it's the beginning and continuing on of all of Him. The Word of God says you cannot mix grace and works. You can't. See, the Word of God says if it's of grace, then it is no more of works. And if it's of works, then it's no more grace. And the Bible tells you you can only grow one way. You grow in grace. That's it. It's just grace. That's the only thing that's going to please Him. So again, as the enemy continues to try to always attack, and he has to be given liberty to attack us, it's always going to be to self, to feeling. It's always going to be some type of a working in my flesh. In Jesus' name, Lord, let me go after grace. Lord, let me want more grace. See, living grace, brothers and sisters, brings one thing always. It brings glory. Grace always brings glory. And the glory that comes to my life is always to Him. Grace always magnifies Him. Grace always comes down. So as that glory comes down and hits me, and as the glory of God works in my life, it's because the glory of God is always magnifying Him. Because there's but one glory, isn't there? So when you're really receiving grace, you know that He will increase and you will decrease. And as that grace continues to just envelop your life, you realize that that is my everything. That this grace life, as we go on with grace, it's a life of praise. It's a life of thanksgiving. You transform into this incredible, lovely life that works in your life and changes you. Grace changes you. Grace is the only thing that will change you. Grace changes you into more peace. It changes you into rest, in confidence that no matter what the situation is, that he's got it. Amen. That he's got it. Grace gives you confidence that he will perform it. That it's no more me. That it's all him. Praise God. That again, that he will work all things together for my good. That it will be a work that is exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And I can trust that for your life too. See, that's the beautiful thing about this. Is he is for his children. He is for that grace life in us. See, this is beyond optimism. This is beyond. Optimism isn't even a word. It's just absolute confidence. It's just what it is. It's seeing truth as opposed to looking at a lie. And the truth is that I'm more than a conqueror because of grace. The truth is that I can do all things through Christ because of grace. Amen. That's you right now. That's not you getting it right with God. Park that. Get that away from you. It's right because of grace, and it's right now because of grace. There's no reason to hesitate. You hesitate, and you'll start to think, and you'll start to reason. There's nothing to think or reason about. This is faith like a child. You mean he said it? Then I want it. My dad says that's mine, then it's mine. So, here we are. And just like last week, with continue in my love, what will we do with grace? What will you do with it, huh? Will it be the word of his grace that you'll surrender to finally to build you up? Huh? Are you still going to have the things that you do to make you feel good about who you are as a Christian? Think about this. Will it be grace that you will let work effectually in you? Will you grow in grace and only in the knowledge of him? Or is it going to be, I still need to feel something? Huh? This is just too weird for me. Remember we were talking about last week, he's made you something. He called you into something just like Abraham. You knew nothing about it. You went into a total new man. And now you got to grow up in it. And it's the word of God and only the word of God. And you go by faith and not by feeling. When you go back to feeling, you're reverting back to that old man. And he's dead. So it's a lie again. It's like a dog chasing its tail, but you're a sheep chasing your tail. But see, is it going to be something that you still need to feel? Do you still need to have some self-righteous satisfaction for you? Do you live a life, or are you going to continue to live a life that I still need to take credit for a bit? Huh? Or I need to get a little bit of glory? I'll tell you what. If he doesn't take that edge off your life, if you don't take that edge off my life, I'll miss the mark. I'll miss that prize. I'll miss that bridal calling. It's all him. We are his workmanship. He must increase in me in everything. Sun glory is just what it is for those who know that. S-U-N glory is what that is. And it's nothing else but the glory of the S-O-N in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Amen. Continue. Remain as what you are in the grace of God. Praise his name. While every head is bowed. Father, we thank you again for your great grace to us. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the love. Thank you again for this great calling that you've placed upon our life. Every life that's here this morning, if they're visiting, Lord, touch them with that great love. It's your truth, Lord. It's not of man. This was given of you. It's your precious word. This is truth, Lord God. Help us to know that this is our Jesus. Lord, grow us up in it. Grow us up into our Lord in all things. Lord, let us want this truth. Let it be an insatiable desire that burns even more passionately. That, Lord, if you tarry, you'll even bring us back here on a Wednesday to hear more about Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, this morning, too, as we go to fellowship downstairs, we ask you to just truly anoint the fellowship down there. Thank you again for all of the hands that have partaken in being used of you to bring this food to us. Bless it to our bodies. Let us have a precious time in magnifying you. And Lord, again, we thank you for this precious day. Again, another day that we have redeemed the time, all because of the grace of God. We've learned more about Jesus and his love to us. In your precious name, Lord, amen.